All right, brethren, let's go back to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. We ended Thursday night in verse 7. David said, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer." God is willing to answer. He will answer the prayer of those who come to him in his Son. But is God able? Is he able to answer? Absolutely. This is David's praise to God, and it's his confidence in God, and it's the same with every believer. He says in verse 8, "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." He says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." And here's what will be the result when the Lord, when he does this. David knew the way, but he's in a very difficult situation here, and he's asking, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." And this will be the result. "I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." He feared the Lord, but he's surrounded by the proud, and he's asking the Lord, "Unite my heart to fear your name." Not theirs, yours. He says, "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore." Here's why. This is what he wanted to see. This is what he wanted a glimpse of right here. "For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them." But listen to this contrast. This is the way he wanted to see again in the Lord. He wanted him to show him this. "Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see and be ashamed." And here's what the token he was asking for: "Because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me." He says there in verse 8, "Among the gods there's none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works." The idol gods of men's minds, man-made gods of superstition, "among the gods there's none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." Idol gods are like men who imagine them, no more powerful than the man who made them. You know, men never attribute power to their gods above the power they have. Man never attributes to their gods the works that God alone works. What have the false gods, when have they ever created a heaven and an earth? When have they ever created the universe and the moon and the stars and everything in the earth? When did they say, "Let there be light," and there was light? Wondrous things. Our God is great. "Now every knee shall bow in that final day and glorify God and bow down to Christ and give him the glory." But it's God's very person revealed in Christ. His very person being great, revealed in Christ. That's the wondrous work for sinners like you and me that brings his people out of every nation to bow before him and worship him. It's the revelation of him and to behold his wondrous works. That brings us his people and every nation come and bow down and worship him. He said in Isaiah 45:23, I've sworn by myself, the word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return. Not going to return void. He said that unto me, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Here's what they're going to say. Surely shall they say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him, to Christ, shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. All of them, they're coming. Every child of God's coming to him. They're justified by him, and they're coming and glorying in him. Now, David's cast down here. He's very cast down. He's fearful. He's surrounded again, and this time it's probably when Absalom, his son, was after him with his band of men. And he asked the Lord to show him just one more time. He says, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Give me one more glimpse, Lord, of your wondrous person and your wondrous works. Your mercy, your love in Christ toward me. Let me see your way, Lord. This is how God will work wondrously in David's heart and make him walk with God. This is how he's going to turn him from the enemy to Christ. This is how he's going to unite David's heart to fear God rather than men and rather than whatever enemies he's facing. He's saying, show me Christ the way. This is how it's going to happen. Verse 11, and when he does, I will walk in thy truth. That's Christ, the truth of God. I'm going to walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. He's dependent on God to do this. Unite my heart to fear thy name, Lord. Not any other. Fear your name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And he contrasts God's dealing with him with the proud here. He said, the proud are risen against me, assemblies of violent men seeking my soul. They've not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, see the conjunction, but thou, O Lord, and like proud. And he said, thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Turn me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant. Save the son of thine handmaiden. Show me a token for good. Give me a crumb from the master's table. Just give me a glimpse of my Lord. Let me see your way. Let me see your truth. Give me your strength, Lord. That they which hate me may see and be ashamed, because, Lord, you've helped me. You've comforted me. Our Savior is the great God. God, our Savior, is the great God, and he does wondrously. He works wondrous things, and all his works are wondrous. His name is wonderful, and all his works are wondrous. Wondrous works means, wondrous things means they're marvelous, they're surpassing, they're extraordinary, they're separate by distinguishing action. That's what David's asking him to show him. He's saying, show me thy way, God. Show me your truth. Show me your great mercy, who's redeemed my soul from hell. Unite my heart to fear your name by showing me one more time how thou art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Christ is God's strength to save him. Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. He's God's way to save him. He's the token for good. There's just one sign, our Lord said. That's the token. That's Christ, our Redeemer. He's our help. He's our comfort. David said in Psalm 96:3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wondrous works among all people. Declare his wonders among all people. And that's what I want to try to do this morning. I want to declare some of his wonders, some of the wondrous things our Lord has done for his people. And I pray this morning God would show us his way, teach us his way. That he'd show us mercy and this great compassion he shows and strengthen us and save us and comfort us. Now, we're talking about wondrous things, and we can't begin to even plumb the depths here. We can't even scratch the surface. But we're going to look at some of these, and I pray God will help us here. These wondrous works are mysteries that are incomprehensible to us. They're wondrous things we have to behold by faith. And that's how God's children enter into these. First of all, it's God's wondrous work that He loved His people from eternity and entered into counsel to save us in Christ. Before this world was made, He wondrously loved us and He wondrously entered counsel to save His people. Psalm 139:17 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them." It's wondrous that He thought upon us. But it's even more so that His thoughts were thoughts of love. That's amazing that He even chose a people and thought upon us, but that His thoughts were thoughts of love. That's eternal sovereign love, the eternal sovereign love of God in electing His people to salvation. That's wondrous. That's wondrous. It's by the great God who's wonderful in counsel. Wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Our God's like no other because of His immutable counsel. It's immutable. He alone wondrously worked it all out for His people. He counseled with Himself on what He would do to save His people, and He worked it all out for His people. And since the day He's called us by His grace, there's not been a day that we didn't prove the immutability of His love by our weakness and our doubting and our frailty and our infirmities and our falling. We prove every day the immutability of His love. And the Lord's never changed His love toward His people in Christ. It's said of our blessed Redeemer, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And that's so of Christ. Wondrous work that He thought upon us and loved His people and entered counsel to save us. And then it's His wondrous work, a wondrous thing that He made with Himself an everlasting covenant of redemption, and He came and fulfilled everything in it. God's way that David prayed to be taught. He wanted to hear this one more time. He wanted it renewed in his heart one more time. Teach me thy way, O Lord. What will a renewed view of Christ crucified do by God's grace? What's that going to do in the heart? I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I'll praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Here's God's way. Here's God's truth. This is what He's going to teach us. When He first teaches us, when He renews us in our heart, and He revives us, this is how He's going to strengthen us right here. Great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell, while the proud rose up against him. David said, "Oh, but thou, O Lord God, thou art full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth." All this wondrous work, all this grace is sure to His people because it's all been accomplished in the wonderful work of our Redeemer. This mercy is sure to His people because it's all been accomplished by God's only begotten Son, whose name is Wonderful. Now you think of what a wondrous work this is. God was manifest in the flesh. We're talking about wondrous things, too wonderful for us. God was manifest in the flesh. What vain god, what idol ever gave such a wondrous gift? There's no other idol that ever men talk about in all the theologies of idols that ever gave such a wonderful gift as God gave in sending His own Son to take flesh like unto His brethren. Nobody, no other God ever worked such a wondrous work. God was manifest in the nature of His brethren without sin to redeem us from all sin. What a wondrous work. What a wondrous work. This is a wondrous work. He hath made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Wonder of wonders. Angels don't cease looking into this wonder. Angels Angels want to look into this wonder. They want to behold this wonder because it's so great. God, the Word made flesh. The lawgiver made under the law. The sinless made sin for his people. His sinful people made the righteousness of God in him. Wondrous things. Free pardon, free justification, free sanctification, eternal life, all in accordance, justly, with his mercy, and his mercy in accord with his justice. That's a wonder, a wonder, a wonder, a wonder of God. Lord, you're great. You've done wondrously. You don't have any idol gods here, of any idol gods doing anything remotely close to what our God has done. Christ crucified is God's way. Teach me thy way, Lord. He's the way. I'll walk in thy truth, Lord. He's the truth. I'll walk after him. I'll follow him by faith. Look to him. Trust him. He's the way by which he continues to unite our hearts in fear. How is it? Have you ever been just really, really afraid? Something in this world just terrified you and you're really, really afraid. The only way our hearts are going to be united to fear him and not fear things that would otherwise cause us to fall away. I mean, something so frightful it'd cause you to fall away from the gospel. The only way is for him to unite our heart in fear to him. Sanctify him rather than them. And how does he do that? He shows us that by his blood he's delivered his people from the lowest hell. He's redeemed us. This is what he wanted to see. This is the token. I want to see Christ. I want to see a glimpse of my Redeemer. I want to see your wondrous, never-ending compassion and grace and long-suffering and mercy and truth, Lord. Show me a token. Beholding Christ. Now, if we look at this psalm, we behold Christ. We see this assembly of the proud and this assembly of the violent. We see them gathered about Christ on the cross. And this perfect prayer of our Redeemer. What angered the proud so that they nailed Christ to the cross? What angered them so much that they nailed Christ to the cross? It's God's way of salvation by grace. It's God's way of salvation by Christ's righteousness imputed freely through faith that he gives apart from any work in us. This is what the proud were angry about. God's way of receiving sinners. God's way of saving us freely by his compassion and by his grace. God's way of suffering long with his people all our days. God's way of doing all justly due to Christ, making mercy and truth meet together in harmony. This is what angered the son that stayed home. It's what angered those that nailed Christ to the cross. He took the glory away. He took the works away. This angered the proud because the proud lust to put on that fair show we talked about this morning. The proud lust to use the bit and bridle of the law. They want to constrain others that they may glory in their flesh. God's way of uniting our hearts to Christ and keep us walking by faith is his endless compassion in Christ for Christ's sake. It's his wondrous long-suffering and plenteous mercies to his child. That confounds the proud. That's a paradox to the proud. That's a proud, unregenerate religionist doesn't understand this, and he doesn't find rejoicing in this. That's God's abounding love. That's it. That's free forgiveness to the vilest offenders that he never stops showing. That's what will constrain sinners to walk after him. When we've sinned, that's the stuff of repentance. Unite our hearts to fear Christ more than men. Make us give all praise to God. Make us glorify his name, all without the heavy hand of a proud man. John said, "Little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. I'm writing these things to you, and I'm instructing you, I'm exhorting you not to sin." And what was the message that the Spirit of God gave him to give to them, to motivate them, to constrain them to obey and strive against their sin? What was it? "And when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's a propitiation for our sin." That is a paradox to religious men that want glory. You can't tell a sinner not to sin and then tell him, but when he does sin, it's already forgiven and God's going to be merciful to him. That'll just make him sin more. No, it won't, when the Spirit of God's working in the heart. That'll make him repent. That'll make him mourn his sin. That'll make him hate his sin. That'll make him follow after Christ. His way is a compassion toward his frail children. Frail children. His way is long-suffering toward us for Christ's sake when we don't act like God's child. His way is plenteous mercy rather than judgment. He doesn't sit in judgment on his people. Free mercy, free grace, plenteous forgiveness. His love constrains us to walk in his way in our dealings with one another. You can't see the abundant forgiveness he's shown us. Just abundant, plenteous redemption. Plenteous forgiveness. And then go out and hold somebody's feet to the fire for far less. You know, you just, in your heart, you just delight for peace. You just delight for mercy. You just delight for strife to be over. And you want that. Christ is wondrously a good shepherd. And he leads you to green pastures that are so good. The pastures are so good. His grace and his kindness and his love is so good that you can take down all the fencing around the pasture. And his sheep are just going to stay right there with the shepherd. Why? Because we got a good shepherd. The green grass he's brought us to is the grass of his grace and his love and his forgiveness and his mercy and his compassion. And it's who wants to go off and eat briars? You got the green pasture. And when you stray, what a wondrous work. What a wondrous work. When you sin, he's your advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for your sin. He'll bring you back in that great compassion, that great love, that great mercy. Have you noticed, we're going to see this at some point, when our Lord told Peter, Peter was going to deny him three times, Peter was saying, "No, I'm not. I'm not going to deny you." Lord said, "Yes, you're going to deny me, Peter." Lord said, "I've prayed for you that your faith fail not." And it didn't. It didn't. He sustained Peter. But he said, "You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows." And then immediately he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. I'm going to keep you, Peter. I'm your advocate. I'm your propitiation. Your faith's not going to fail. I'm going to find you. I'm going to restore you." That's compassion. That's love. That's immutable love. Lastly, look here. God's wondrous works, what he reveals in our hearts. When Christ made this petition to God our Father, When he's the one praying this, God was so well pleased with Christ and the full satisfaction he made for his people to God's justice. He raised him and he gave him all power over all things in heaven and earth as the head over all things to his church to fill all in all. And Christ, our mediator, sent us the gospel. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe he's the Son of God? Is he your hope? Seated there at God's right hand, your life without anything of you, him alone, he's everything you need to enter into God's presence. You believe that? You believe him? The only way Christ is all our confidence is because he worked in us wondrously. That's the only reason. Wondrously. We were dead. He made us alive. Our hearts were stone. He gave us a heart of flesh. We were lame. He made us leap like a hart. We were blind. He gave us sight. We were condemned. He justified us. We were covered and polluted, and he robed us in his righteousness. Somebody said this, the wise man only wonders once in his life, but that's always. That couldn't be more true about a sinner made wise unto salvation. You only wonder once, but it's always. From the day he calls you, you just are in amazement. History teaches us there's seven wonders of the ancient world. I see more of them sitting here, right here, before me. There's more of them hearing this message. There's wonders of God's grace scattered all over this world that are greater wonders than any wonders of the ancient world. He works wondrously. Our God doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. David marveled at the wondrous covenant God had made with him in Christ. He wondered at that. And so do we. God made with David when he called him, and this he did for you and me, he made with you an everlasting covenant ordered by Christ, by God the Father and his Son Christ Jesus, ordered in all things and sure, fulfilled, finished, accomplished, done. David said, it's all my salvation. And God promises the believer never-ending, unchanging grace because of that. Long-suffering, mercy, and truth for Christ's sake. That's his covenant promise. And that's what David is asking him to show him. Give me a token of this, Lord. Show me this one more time. This is a wondrous thing. Think about it. God has confirmed his covenant by his oath to you. Believer, he sealed it by his blood, and he's promised that in blessing he will bless us and glorify his Son in us and bring us to glory with him. That's his promise. David is saying here, show me thy way, Lord. Show me this compassion in Christ toward me. Show me your long suffering in Christ toward me. Show me your mercy in Christ toward me. Now you think about this. I tell you exactly what he's doing. He's doing just what Moses did. Moses was asking to see the very same thing. When Moses was out there in the wilderness, he said, how is it that your people are going to be separated from everybody else? Is it not going to be, Lord, that you go with us, that you're in our presence? And he said, Lord, show me thy way. Show me your glory. That's what David's saying here. Your compassion and your grace and your long suffering and your mercy and your truth. Show that to me. And so God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. And he showed him all this glorious grace and good news in Christ that we have. This everlasting covenant that we have. This is what David's asking for. And when we're cast down and we're weak and we need him and we need him to unite our hearts in fear with him and we can't walk and we can't do anything but just mourn to him, this is what we're crying to him. Lord, show me one more time. Give me a token for good. That promise you've promised me, that glory you've shown me in the face of Christ. And he comes and shines his face in your heart, and Christ speaks into your heart, and he says, no man will pluck my sheep out of my hand. I'm going to bring every one of them to glory. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation and shall not be ashamed nor confounded world without end. He said it, shall he not do it? He's spoken it, shall he not make it good? A wondrous work of our God. He's given us privilege to be called sons of God. And he's given us that spirit of adoption that enables us to cry this out to him, Abba, Father. Oh, Lord. He didn't choose angels. He chose frail sinners of dust. This is what David's crying for. Strength and comfort, a token for good, another glimpse of Christ. Seated at God's right hand. Show me my life. Show me my all. Show me my security. Show me the covenant, Lord. Show me this one who's all my salvation. Doing so, he renews in your heart that you're complete in him. He renews in your heart that all things are yours and you're Christ and Christ is God's. He reminds you that he's working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Believer, the evil and the good has all goodness and mercy in it, more wondrous than we can comprehend right now. But one day we will. The evil and the good have more good in it than we can comprehend right now. More wondrous good. But we're going to comprehend it one day. For now, do what God told Abraham to do. He said, Abraham, look to the east and look to the west and look to the north and look to the south. This is all yours. It's all yours. And you're Christ, and Christ is God's. Whatever he's bringing to pass right now, he's doing it, and it's all yours for you. The good, the bad, it's all good. And you're Christ, and Christ is God's. And brethren, he's not done yet. He's not done yet. He'll work that great final wonder when he presents us to himself without spot and without blemish. He will do that. He will do that. He's going to keep his child doing what he did when he brought him to the Jordan and delivered him into Canaan. Keep looking to Christ. Keep crying out to him. Keep crying this prayer right here. Lord, bow down and hear me. Lord, preserve me and save my soul. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, renew your joy in my heart. Lord, there's no God like you. Show me again. Show me again your way. Show me Christ the truth. Show me Christ the way. Give me this token for good that I might see your glory in his face and know something again of all your loving compassion and your never-ending mercy and your grace and your truth, Lord, so that I might fear you, so that I might be comforted and strengthened. That's the way he's going to keep saving us. And one day, he's going to dry that Jordan up. And we're going to go across on dry ground. And we're going into that heavenly celestial city. And we're going to see then that everything was wondrous. Wondrously worked for us. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. In great trouble, expect great wonders. In great trouble, expect great wonders from God. Is there anybody here that's you see yourself for the first time as being so very sinful that you think there is no way, there's no way I can come to Christ? It would be too great a wonder for me to come to him and him receive me. The Lord is a God of wonders. He only doeth wondrously. He says, come unto me. If you're a believer troubled like David, he says, come unto me. Whatever the case, he says, come unto me. Cast all on his mercy. He's good and he's ready to forgive and he's plenteous in mercy. That's His glory. He's connected it. He's connected our salvation to His glory in Christ so that He shall save us. That's the strongest assurance a person could have, is God has sworn by an oath, sealed it with His blood, connected His glory to it. He will not change. He will not be defeated. Every elect child of God shall be conquered by His love and purged by His blood and shall be brought to glory with Him. And He won't fail. I pray He bless that.